Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Today we have the long-awaited start of the pro motocross season to finally be able to talk about. I know I mentioned it in my motocross preview and towards the end of Supercross how much I was looking forward to this motocross season. And we got a couple things I was expecting. One thing I'm sure nobody saw coming. And a little bit more questions than answers still, I do believe. So today, obviously, starting it off, 250s first. Wasn't able to watch qualifying, was on a plane basically all day Saturday, so I watched the races Sunday. So that's why I didn't have anything, any tweets going on during qualifying or during races. So, didn't watch qualifying back, just watched the races. So, just going to look over some times here. And there's a couple things that stick out right away in qualifying times here for the 250s. One, Chance Hymus being the fastest qualifier. He talked in the preseason press conference for this motocross season that pretty quickly into his supercross season, all the attention went to outdoors. And he said the attention was even on outdoors before he even got his win in that mud race in Foxborough. So Chance Hymus has been focusing on outdoors a lot. And he definitely came very prepared here in qualifying first with a 2 minute 16 second point. 2 minutes. Ah, man. It's been a while since we had a minute interval in there, or time in there. 2 minutes 16 seconds .952. That is over a second and a half faster, 1.6 seconds faster than Hayden Deegan, who ran a 218.5. and Julian Beaumaire qualified third with a 218.6. so just 1/10 slower than Hayden Deegan. One thing that really jumped out to me, Tom Vial. I talked about him as he could definitely be a championship guy. You got to throw out all the doesn't know the tracks, doesn't know setups and how quickly race day starts and gets going at full speed here for the Pro Motocross Championship compared to his MX2 championships that he had. He qualified in 11th with a 219.531, so 2.5 seconds off of Chance Hymus. Might not seem like a big deal, but on a motocross track, that is very big, especially if going into Moto 1, if Tom Vial was consistently 2.5 seconds back, even second and a half or 2 seconds back every single lap, that would add up to, I think they did about 16 laps. He'd be 30-some seconds. What is that? Quick math. 32 to 34 seconds in that range. He would be down just by the end of the race. So Tom Vial really needed to figure something out after qualifying. And right in front of him, qualifying 10th, Ty Masterpool. Coming into this year, he's got a little bit more seat time outdoors on that Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki bike. Last year he came into the season with, I think, 2 days on the bike. So he's coming in a little bit more prepared this year, qualifying a 10th faster than Tom Vial with a 219.4 opposed to Vial's 219.5. Rounding out our top five in qualifying was the chef, Levi Kitchen, with a 218.830, 1.8 seconds behind Chance Hymus, our fastest qualifier. Levi Kitchen, his overall day, we'll get to that at the end. A little bit lackluster. Moto 2, he had his own separate problems that, well, not his separate problems, but his bike's separate problems that, unfortunately, spoiler alert, took him out of Moto number 2. But he is coming off that big crash in Daytona. Said he was feeling good. I know he's been on the bike for quite a bit. I expected a little bit more out of Levi Kitchen in the motos, but maybe he just didn't have as much as he thought he had coming into the season. So now for the 250 Moto number 1. I didn't notice it. Live, I don't really notice it on the replay either. But after both motos and the press conference, Tom Viel said they dropped the gate quickly, he thought, in Moto number 1. And I don't really think they did. I know they got the 30-second card up, turn it, and I think it's 3 to 5 or 2 to 5 seconds after that card turns that the gate drops. It didn't seem like it was very, very fast in my mind. I think it was about 3 seconds after. So I think it was a pretty standard gate drop. But Hymus was able to grab the hole shot coming up the inside here, just kind of squeezing around through that first turn. Grabs the hole shot, but it wasn't for very long because Ty Masterpool absolutely ripped the outside line berm. Not much of a berm, but he ripped that outside right-hand corner and just flew by Chance Hymus. Was able to double over a little roller that they had going up a jump and was able to take the lead pretty quickly. Very quickly, not pretty quickly, very quickly from Chance Hymus. But Hymus was able to get back to the lead after the big monster step up, I do believe it was called. Sorry, had a little bit of reading here to do. It's been a while since I've done a motocross show. It's a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit harder to do notes and all that for motocross than it is for supercross, so I'll try to just focus on the big things here because I got quite a bit here. 4 minutes into the moto, Austin Faulkner was out. Now, honestly, I don't remember seeing him crash or anything like that, so I'm not exactly. Took a foot peg to his leg and ended up having to get stitches in between the two motos. So he finished in 40th in moto number 1. Not ideal, obviously. Was he? I don't believe he was able to come back for moto number 2. That is not what I wanted. There we are. Holy smokes. Oh, he did come back for moto number 2. 22nd he got in moto number 2 for a 31st overall. I thought he was around the 37th overall area. That's why it took me a little bit longer than it should have to find that one. Four minutes after Faulkner's out, so about 8 minutes into the race now, Julien Baumeer started to catch up to Hymus, but then Hymus was then able to keep about a 4.1 second gap over Julien Baumeer, and then right at the halfway mark, well, 15, 16 minutes left of the halfway mark, after the finish line jump, going into that corner, which eventually it did cause quite a few problems. Chance Hymus, holy smokes, I'm not getting this thing to work for me here. Just kind of pushes the front end, goes down while he was in the lead. Julian gets by him, and Hayden Deegan was also able to get by him. Then putting Hymus about just over 2 seconds back. Chance Hymus didn't really seem to lose too much time from it, was able to get up fairly quickly and back up to race pace, and then going up that big uphill that they got there. Real slick. I thought Julian Bomer would have done a little bit better here with how slick it is and how choppy it is. With him being an Arizona kid, kind of thought he would... I expected a little bit more out of Julian Bomer overall. But once he got passed by Deegan after making the mistake in moto number one here, he just started to slip back. He slipped all the way back to fifth place. It was interesting. One thing I will say is, well, I'll say a lot of things. Obviously, I got a microphone in my hand. I can say whatever I want. One thing I'll say about Juju is James Stewart on the broadcast was talking about how maybe he was dealing with some sort of injury because it looked like he went long on a jump and then just kind of started looking around behind him and whatnot, maybe seeing if he could pull off. Never ended up pulling off or anything. Still, in the end, he ran the fastest lap time of the entire race, and I'm assuming that was when he was out front. But then he just started slipping back very, very fast. It happened almost immediately. Deegan was able to put 4 seconds into him in just two laps. Shimoda was able to get right past Juju as well with no fight from Bomer. Vial was able to get past him going over the finish line jump with about six minutes left. Vial was 2 seconds behind Hymus, but that ended up being not a big concern. That's confused me a little bit here. So yeah, Shimoda gets by him. Hymus gets by him. Vial gets by him. He didn't really put up a very strong fight for any one of those guys. And so it was just kind of interesting to see how fast Bomer went from first place, getting passed, getting dropped 4 seconds in two laps, and then sliding all the way down to fifth place here in moto number one with Hayden Deegan winning it. Joe Shimoda, big question about him last couple years. Can he start the season fast? Well, he came out, won Anaheim 1, then broke some fingers in qualifying on a pit board, so a little bit of bad luck there. And then he comes out here, Fox Raceway, Paula, whatever you want to call it, gets a second place in moto number one, followed up by his HRC Progressive Honda teammate, Chance Hymus, in third. Tom Vial fourth, Bomer in fifth. And I talked about him in qualifying. Levi Kitchen, left a little bit to be desired here. Finished in 10th place here in moto number one. He just wasn't on the screen very much. Lost, I don't know. He had to have had a bad start. It's very difficult to pick out individual guys on starts, especially when it's a team like that Pro Circuit team where there's six of them, or the Star Racing Yamaha team where there's eight guys out there. It's hard to pick out who is who. But as I'm saying that, I was able to find him, and it looks like he got squeezed off by Shimoda and Vial going into the first turn. Came out around 11th, 12th-ish coming out of the first turn. And I noticed most of the race, he was sitting in 14th-ish place. Him and Jordan Smith were sitting 14, 15, 13, 14. Jordan Smith finished in 13th. Levi Kitchen was able to get his way up to 10th. It's going to be interesting to see how Levi Kitchen's able to bounce back, because I know going into, well, last year, round one, Levi Kitchen was a pretty close 2-2 for second overall at Fox Raceway to Deegan going 1-1. So just kind of interesting. I don't think he had, I don't think Levi Kitchen had his best stuff this weekend, especially not Moto 1. And then Moto 2, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. He had bike problems. So we'll just, he's a little bit of a non-factor again in Moto 2. So he was sitting in 10th place with 3 minutes left. And it looked like, it was hard to tell on TV. It was definitely a chain problem. It was hard to see if it just, if it popped off, if it broke, maybe like a rock got caught up in the sprocket, knocked it off, broke it. But you could definitely see a little bit of the chain hanging, not on the sprocket. So, yeah, that caused Levi Kitchen issues, like I said, with 3 minutes left in Moto 2. Unable to finish the race, so he went 10-38 for 16th overall. Not ideal. Not ideal whatsoever. But getting back to everybody else here and the full Moto 2 here for the 250s. And this time we had the KTM boys getting the two good starts. I think it technically went to VL. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Chance Hymus got bumped by one of the Pro Circuit guys. There is within about 12 feet here, we have five different Pro Circuit guys all next to Chance Hymus. So I'm not exactly sure which one it was, but one of them got a little squirrely, bumped into Hymus, and then Vial grabbed the whole shot with Julien Baumeer right behind him. That's what I expect to see from Tom Vial. Julien Baumeer doesn't quite have the starting prowess, I think would probably be the best way to put it, that Tom Vial has in his entire career, being known as a good starter. But the kind of the same type of thing happened to Julien in this race that it happened in Moto number one. Kind of started to slide a little bit. So did Tom Vial. So I'm wondering if there's just something with both of their bike setups. I know Vial said in the post-race press conference that they had a lot of work done on their bike and their engine has a lot more power this season. So I'm wondering if with that more power they sacrificed something, because it seemed like they both kind of slid a little bit. Didn't seem like they made, either one of them really made passes. It seemed like they were both just getting passed. So just kind of interesting to look at. Also, Hang on a second. All right, calling timeout real quick. Got to figure some things out. All right, we got it all figured out here. For some reason, I don't have in my notes how Juju was able to get past Vial early in the race, but that's what messed me up a little bit. Deegan was in third off the start, and then he's just straight up surprised Tom Vial going to an inside. There's a little roller going into that corner, and Deegan just kind of jumped it and right into Vial's line. And Shimoda almost got a little pass on Vial shortly after Deegan did. But Shimoda was then hounding Vial. This is, sorry, we got four guys in my timeout. That doesn't make sense. I have four different positions and whatnot going through my noggin right now. It's jacked up. Shimoda was able to get past Vial after that big rough uphill where Julian slid out in moto number one. And then halfway through, Juju in the lead. He made one pass. I said I don't think either of them made any passes. I think they both just kind of slid backwards. But halfway through, Julian had a 1.6 second lead over Deegan, and it was 2.6 seconds over Shimoda. But with it doesn't say on here. Deegan was able to get Bomer in the same exact spot that he got him in moto number one. This time, Julian went inside, heading up the hill. Deegan went outside, and then they kind of just crossed over each other. And it, for some reason, Bomer thought it would be good to go to the outside once they get to the top of the hill. And then Deegan just did the smart thing, cut to the inside, was able to get past Bomer there at the top of the hill. And then one lap later, I think it was, Shimoda made a pass on him in the exact same spot. Put him, Shimoda, this is 3.2 back of Deegan. And then Joe was just a consistent 5 seconds back of Hayden Deegan the rest of the moto, who Deegan went 1-1 for first overall. Shimoda finishing second here in Moto 2. Vial was able to make a pass late on Julian Bomer for third place in Moto 2. And like I said, Julian Bomer, I don't know what it was, but it just seemed like he was constantly sliding backwards. Didn't seem very aggressive. We saw him get aggressive in the last round of Supercross. Honestly, kind of thought we'll probably see the same type of aggression here in motocross, but didn't quite see it. Chance Hymus, after a strong first moto, got a bad start. Like I mentioned, he got bumped right on the start straight shortly after the gate, finishes in sixth place. So overalls, we are looking Deegan 1-1 for first, Shimoda 2-2 for second, Vial 4-3 moto scores for third place, and Chance Hymus with a 3-6 for fourth. I'm rounding out the top five, 5-4 for fifth. That was a lot of fours. Big shout out to Drew Adams making his first full season here. Went 9-14 for 11th. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Levi Kitchen, Austin Faulkner had their struggles. Faulkner going 40 and 22 for 31st overall. and Levi Kitchen. Holy smokes, why can't I find him now? Boy was back there. Jeez, oh Pete. I can't even find him now on the, there's 43 guys here. I'm looking for the chef. 10th. There he is. 10:38 for 16th overall. That took me way too long to figure out. So, obviously, points here reflect that is 450s. This is 250s. Points here reflect what we saw just Saturday. Deegan in first. He is 6 in front of Joe Shimoda. Vial is in third, who is 12 back of Deegan. Pro Motocross points, little bit, not quite as even and whatnot as Supercross points are, obviously, with the two moto format. Deegan's already at 50, where if it's Supercross, it'd be 25. So yeah, Deegan, there's no need to repeat it. I was going to. There isn't. Big takeaway time here for the 250s before we jump into the big bikes here. It was Deegan's third career 1-1 overall. I think his other ones were Washougal, where he had that breakout ride, and then last year at Fox Raceway. So his second career 1-1 at Fox Raceway, third career overall. Levi Kitchen obviously doesn't score any points in Moto 2, gets a 10th in Moto number 1. He just had, he struggled, it seemed like, in both motos. Just maybe a little bit off the pace. I mean, Moto 1, Levi, his fastest lap was a 223.3. The fastest of the race was Julien Baumaire with a 218. So he's off the pace there. Now, Julien was the only one in the 218s, but it was a high 218. There was quite a few guys in the 219s and a bunch of guys in the 220s. So Levi Kitchen, Moto 1, definitely off the pace. And let's find him here. 223 was his fastest in Moto number 2. And I believe Joe Shimoda had the fastest in Moto 2 with a 219.9. 219 point, yeah. So once again, just very far off the pace so far for Levi Kitchen starting this this outdoor season. And my last thing here for the 250s, I talked about it quite a bit already, was just the fact that Julien Baumaire started up front in both motos, was very front. Yeah, he was very front in both motos. At one point, he was leading both motos, and then just started to fade a little bit. So he starts in moto number 1. He was in front at one point, finishes in 5th. Moto number 2, he was in front at one point, finishes in 4th. And it's not like it was just he was in front for half a second or whatever. He was able to, he led laps in the motos. And so, I don't know. It just seemed like it was around the halfway point where you see Hayden Deegan turn it up. It looked like Julien Baumaire kind of turned it down. So I'm not exactly sure what Juju's solution is. I don't know if it's a fitness thing. I know he's not with Alden Baker like most of the Red Bull KTM racers are. He is on his own training with Davey Millsaps. So I don't know if it's a fitness thing. I don't know if it's just how he's going to be here in outdoors. He started off Supercross. He was in the championship hunt pretty much right from the very beginning. Now, he did only finish in fifth place here. But if he wants to be in the championship hunt, you can't start, or you can't be in first place in both motos and then slip back to fifth and fourth place. So, yeah, I think that just about wraps us up here for the 250s. So now getting into the 450 class. We had the bad man is back. Jet Lawrence comes out, qualifies first, just like he never even tore his ACL or had any crazy injury. Because in qualifying first, he was over 2 seconds faster than everybody, which is very surprising, especially with all of the momentum Chase Sexton had from the end of Supercross season. Even though he didn't win the Supercross championship, he still got 7 wins in that season, still came out with, I think, the most momentum towards the end, and just had nothing for Jet Lawrence in the first qualifying session. Second qualifying session, well, I guess combined qualifying session, Jet still ended up first with a 2:14.3, and Sexton was second, 1.2 seconds behind him. So Sexton ran a 2:15.633. So Jet still noticeably faster than the rest of the field. Eli Tomac also made his return to racing, qualified third. Who else made the return? Hunter Lawrence qualifying fifth. RJ Hampshire, his 450 debut. I don't think he had any past Supercross races on a 450. So this is his 450 debut. Qualified sixth, just over 3 seconds behind Jet Lawrence. And one thing that really surprised me, it was a big question coming into this for him, was Jorge Prado. How would he be able to adapt to the new schedule, the sped up daily schedule, not the 2 or 3 day schedule that they do over in Europe and for the MXGP races? Over here in America, it's you got 1 day to figure it all out. Sometimes you got 2 days if you are riding press day. He ended up qualifying eighth, 4.4 seconds behind Jet Lawrence. Jorge Prado did an interview after Moto 2, said they're still working on everything. I mean, I'm not super surprised to see him struggle, but I didn't think he would be qualifying eighth, basically 4.5 seconds off of the leader's pace. I don't recall. I know two different people, but same type of situation. I don't recall Tom Vielle having 4 seconds, 4.5 seconds, basically, separating him and the fastest qualifier in his first race over here. Now, Prado is coming off of a separated shoulder that happened early in the Supercross season. He's been on the bike for a while. So you got to assume that the shoulder isn't really what's bothering him. And I think it's just getting used to a new bike. He's never ridden this Kawasaki outdoors in a race. He was on KTM and then GasGas the entire time over in MXGP. So I think it's a lot of just new bike, new tracks, and I think he might win one race like Tom Vial did his rookie season, and I'm just going to assume it's Southwick, because Prado, over in MXGP, he was the king of the sand. So I think that will wrap us up here for qualifying. And this 450 Moto 1 is really when maybe the entire season turned on its head. Lawrence brothers, they've always gotten the starts. They grabbed the whole shots. They bumped into each other right after the first turn. Still, I think it was Jet. Yeah, Jet technically got the whole shot. Chase Sexton, the defending champion, came out of turn one in third place. I think he crossed the line technically in fourth. He had a rock hit him in the goggles, and somehow that got dirt on the inside of his goggles. So I don't know if maybe there was a little bit of dirt on the foam padding before he put the goggles on, and then the rock hit the lens, and it just kind of shook the dirt down. But Chase Sexton decided to ditch his goggles with just 2 minutes into the race. That's not the best idea. James Stewart said on the broadcast, he's never seen anybody ditch goggles that early, even in a mud race where it's a little bit more typical to see riders ditch their goggles if they run out of tear-offs or... holy smokes, I can't think of the... what the other thing's called, where they pull the tether, roll-offs, that's what it is. If they run out of tear-offs or run out of roll-offs, you'll see them ditch their goggles in the mud. But a perfectly dry racetrack, Sexton ditches goggles 2 minutes in. Lets Hunter Lawrence pretty much by, and then just has to fade back from there because he can't be close up on the back tire of Hunter Lawrence. Due to the roost, you can't put your head down for too long in a motocross race because there's going to be something coming and you're going to crash. Turns out maybe Chase Sexton could have done that anyway, because he went down very, very hard after the finish line. He had Eli Tomac all over him. I think he hit neutral while he was in the air of the finish line, came down. You can look at the back tire after he lands that initial little kick of dirt. There is off his back tire. There is no more roost coming from his back tire the rest of the way. So I think he hit neutral. His body leaned forward too much, lost the front end, and went over the first roller, flying into the second one, right shoulder first, bike lands on top of him, and that was the end of his day. It was the end of his first moto. Didn't know what his status was for the second moto until right before. Wasn't able to make the second moto. But we'll get to Chase Sexton and his future a little bit more in the big takeaway section of this. So all of this is happening. Jet is out there just holding his classic Jet Lawrence 2 to 6 second lead that it seems like he can hold over just about anybody. I don't have how Justin Cooper got into second around Hunter Lawrence, but Justin Cooper might have been the surprise of the entire 450 class. He just surprised me, especially here in Moto 1. I know Jet coming off of injuries, Hunter coming off, Jet, or really just Jet coming off of injuries and then going out and winning. Not super surprised because we did see him do that exact same thing last September for the SMX playoffs, which I don't know about that championship anyway. So, getting this bike back on track a little bit here. Speaking of a bike who did not stay on track, Cooper Webb. He had massive amounts of smoke coming out of his engine, that whole engine area, for a good probably 15 minutes of this race. And then finally, with 7 minutes left, his bike just said no more. Bike gave up. So we have our defending Supercross champion, unable to finish Moto 1, finishing in 37th. Our defending Motocross champion, unable to finish Moto 1, finishing 39th. So I don't really know if you want to win championships anymore in the 450s, because you look, Supercross this last year, Jet Lawrence, defending champion, tears his ACL. Cooper Webb, Supercross this past year, defending champion. Bike quits on him. Little bit of a difference there. Torn ACL versus an engine blowing up. Yeah, a little bit of a difference there. I get it, but still. Then Chase Sexton, former motocross champion. Well, defending motocross champion. Maybe out until early July. Like I said, we'll get to him in a little bit. When I say a little bit, I mean after Moto 2, pretty much. So Jet, I mentioned it earlier, Jet had his classic 3 to 6 second lead. He ended up extending it out to about 8 seconds over Justin Cooper. So Jet won. At this point, Jet Lawrence has never lost a Moto in Fox Raceway. His entire 450 career, he has led every single lap at Fox Raceway. He was able to do that in Moto 1. Spoiler alert, did the same exact thing in Moto 2. That's why the 450s here are moving along a little bit faster than the 250s did, because the Jet show is back, pretty much. Hunter Lawrence was able to round out the podium in Moto 1, and Eli Tomac, coming back from the broken leg, finishes in fourth. Cowboy rounds out our top five, and in seventh was the man we were talking about, the Spaniard? Jorge Prado. That's who it is. Finished seventh. Very, very quiet. Wasn't on the TV broadcast very much. When I say he wasn't on TV broadcast very much, I basically mean he wasn't on TV after the start. It's just the way it goes. Thought maybe we'd get a little insight on him with him coming over here and racing outdoors for the first time this year. Thought maybe round one we'd see him a little bit more, but we had some solid battles and defending champions going out, and a lot of other crazy, crazy stuff going on in this race. So now, 450 Moto number 2. Like I mentioned, Chase Sexton is out. Cooper Webb is back in, though. New engine, new everything that could possibly resulted in his early exit from Moto 1. Now, he did come out with the 37th gate pick. So not the best situation in my mind. And they interviewed him before Moto 2 and asked him if he's thinking about maybe taking care of the bike a little bit more. And what his thoughts are going on into moto number two. And he said no, pretty much just the only thing he's thinking about is getting a decent start coming out around the top 10. And that is what he was able to do. I think he came out of the first corner across the whole shot line around the 10th place mark. So Cooper Webb did exactly what he wanted to do for the start. And once again, we had the Lawrence brothers near the front off the start. This time, Jet Lawrence had an absolute insane start. He got a great jump, was right near the doghouse, and was able to, after he got the good jump, was able to just close everybody off on the inside and go across that whole shot line with a good 5, 6, 7 bike lengths before his brother. So once again, we had the two Lawrences out front. AP, Aaron Plessinger, got a little feisty with him. Oh, that says, was that Hunter? Holy smokes, that was Hunter. The entire time I thought it was Jet. That was Hunter. Yeah. Hunter Lawrence had the good 5-6 bike lead going across the whole shot line. But once again, going into corner, you'd probably call it 3 here, Jet Lawrence was able to reclaim the very familiar position of first. And Plessinger. The cowboy, Yes, he's gotten wins in Supercross. Yes, he's held the red plate in Supercross. But I think he just excels so much more in motocross. He was able to get into second shortly after Jet got into first and put up a little bit of fight to Jet Lawrence. Threw a front wheel on the inside rut a couple times, showing Jet he was there. And then just made a mistake after that big fox drop jump. I guess you can call it more of like a little step down type of thing. And went down to 4th place, but was then eventually in the end on the last lap able to make it back into 3rd due to Hunter Lawrence deciding to see the side of the track on the last lap. Figured, hey, I've been on the track long enough, I'll take a look and see what the side of the track is. Go get a close-up look at the sponsor banners. But. Eli Tomac might be back. Jet Lawrence's fastest lap in this moto was a 2:16.7. 1 second off of that lap was Eli Tomac with a 2:17.7. And they were the only two in the two teens. Everybody else was 2:20 and worse. Jet Lawrence, Eli Tomac, Moto2, Fox Raceway reminded me a lot of 2022, basically every moto, Eli Tomac, Chase Sexton. There was a point where they were 10 minutes into this race and they put 8 seconds into the field. Hunter Lawrence was riding a very good race. He battled with Aaron Plessinger all race long, but he was already 8 seconds back of Jet Lawrence, and Eli Tomac was about half a second behind Jet. So Jet and Eli were 8 seconds away from Hunter. And then about the halfway point came in. And usually, right after that halfway point is when you start to see the old beast mode Eli Tomac come out. The shark, whatever nickname you want to call him this time. That's when he starts to come out and do his best work. But this time, Jet was able to extend the lead to 3.8 seconds, which was the biggest, probably best way to put it, is the biggest competitive lead there was. Because there was a point with just a couple minutes left where you could tell Eli just waved the white flag, said, all right, second is good enough. And the lead got up to 11 at the very end. But as just Eli Tomac, you could definitely tell Eli Tomac backed it down towards the end. But I think the biggest competitive lead was 3.8 seconds with about halfway left of this race to go. And then 8 minutes left, Eli Tomac is back on Jet Lawrence. There's a 1 second gap between them. And from 8 minutes all the way until three laps, so from 8 minutes on, it was a full-on battle. Jet never got passed. Track seemed like it was pretty difficult to pass on. Track is going to be one of the big overall takeaways. I got one big takeaway for the entire day, and it's the track. But there was points where Eli was definitely faster. I think Eli was faster just ripping the outside and going through them rollers. I don't think anything on his bike moved besides maybe his back tire and then his rear suspension. He was just ripping through them, staying super still, super even. And since he was going from the outside, it then set him up for the inside. So there was constantly a couple times where I thought he was pulling up close to side-by-side with Jet. I thought he was going to be able to go inside, maybe then leak outside a little bit and kind of cut Jet's line off. In the end, was never able to do it. But this is the battle that we've been waiting for ever since Jet moved up to the 450s. The summer after Eli blew out his Achilles in Supercross, we didn't get the battle that time. Last year, Eli once again missed the beginning of motocross, and then by the time he came back, Jet was out with his injury. And so finally we get them both pretty much as close to 100% as you can get. They're both coming back from injury, so they both don't have, I'm sure they got maybe a little nagging things just from practice and whatnot, but this is the battle we've been waiting for. Jet Lawrence, Eli Tomac. And hey, Eli even said that fire's relit. I don't think this is last year. I think he might be coming back next year on an orange bike as well. So I think there's someone on an orange bike going to a green bike. But that is all for a couple months down the road. Aaron Plessinger rounds out the podium. Jet Lawrence wins. Eli Tomac second. Plessinger able to make the last lap pass, capitalize on the mistake from Hunter Lawrence, going off track. Hunter Lawrence still ends up finishing fourth. Anderson fifth, and Prado sixth. Cooper Webb, biggest improvement out of everybody from Moto 1 to Moto 2, going from 37th to 7th, so shout out to him. And then Justin Cooper, he didn't get a very good start in the Moto, and it cost him big time. finishing in 8th place here in Moto number 2. So our overall scores, Jet Lawrence remains undefeated at Fox Raceway, remains, I guess, would it be undefeated in laps led at Fox Raceway on a 450? Eli Tomac goes 4-2 for second overall, and Hunter Lawrence still able to salvage third overall, even with the little last lap off-track excursion he went on with 3-4 moto scores, barely beaten out Plessinger, who had 5-3 scores for fourth. And Prado went 7-6 for sixth. I guess I'll say J. Coop. Justin Cooper, 2-8 for fifth. Big takeaway time. Jet is back. And one of the big things that one of the big things he hasn't shown really is emotion. Even after winning Supercross championships, Motocross championships, SMX championships, Motocross Nations championships, kids won everything. He's never really shown too much emotion. He'll throw a big fist pump over the finish line jump, rev his bike. If it's a championship, he'll do a burnout, and that's really all he publicly shows. But you could tell everything he's been going through, injury. He was asked about the from Gypsy Tales at the preseason press conference. He was asked about the agent situation. He was asked about the video that came out from, I think it's, I honestly don't even know how to say his name. It's either Cooksey or Kooksey. One of that dude. I can tell you he's not very well liked or respected. The video that came out of Jet Lawrence when he was a young kid, he was asked about that at the pre-race press conference. Apologized for all of it. But you could see how much this 1-1 meant to him. Set the bike down on the track, crouched down next to it, and you could see, like, I don't know how to, when you can see someone's crying, not by seeing their face, just like their shoulders and their back and how their body is moving. Jet was crying. He was emotional. Broke down behind the podium, underneath the tents back there. Hands in his face, helmet on, all that stuff. So that's something, that's a side of Jet Lawrence we just have never seen before. And it was very interesting to see it come off of just couple years ago, what was just a regular old day. Jet Lawrence going 1-1 on a 450. And now, after his big injury, you can see how much it meant to him. Eli Tomac has pushed Jet Lawrence in Moto 2, I think, maybe more in longer in one moto than I think anybody has been able to do so far. I know Sexton has been there. It's been at Fox Raceway both times, Moto 2, last 2 years. Sexton's been there pushing him at the end. I can't really remember, but I don't think he was there for basically 25 to 30 minutes of the moto like Eli Tomac was. So I think Eli Tomac, he's 100% healthy. He said he considered coming back and racing some Supercross. He was feeling that good, but decided against it and figured he would just stay focusing on motocross. And now we get to our defending champion, Chase Sexton, crashes out after ditching goggles in Moto 1, hurts his shoulder, no points in Moto 1 due to the injury, doesn't race Moto 2, no points. And now all the word out there is Chase Sexton is going to be out until Red Bud. So that just absolute, that's, it's like the only thing motocross fans I think want is one season with all the top guys in it and healthy. And we've been robbed of that lately. It was Eli Tomac a couple years ago. Then it was Chase Sexton that same year, week after Fox Raceway. He crashes, practice crash. I think he had a concussion, was out all the way until Red Bud, once again, during Jets' perfect season. Then last year, Eli's out to start the season. Jet goes down. Then Eli comes back. And now this year, we got Jet back healthy, Eli back healthy, Chase rolling in with all the momentum you would think, besides from winning a championship. He's defending champion. He's got to be feeling good. Nobody's talking about him. Everybody's talking about everybody coming back. You got Hunter Lawrence coming back. Jason Anderson's back. Plessinger, Justin Cooper, Prado, the new guy to the championship. There's just so much excitement. And now one of the big top gun guys is out for most likely it'll be, I think, Red Bud's July 5th this year. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, July 5th. And that's just the rumors that Chase Sexton is out until Red Bud. Obviously hoping that's not true. He's definitely not going to be racing this upcoming weekend in Hangtown. I mean, it's not very Chase Sexton-like to not post anything on social media after a race. Good, bad, or ugly, usually he'll still post something, just kind of recapping it all. And he has been just radio silent. It's going to be very, very interesting to see when he finally posts something. And I will make sure that I send that message along on talking_moto on X. I'm assuming by the time people see mine, they would have probably already seen his, but hey, I'll still post it anyway. So I think that is my last big takeaway for the 450s. And now for everybody. I don't get why they keep going back to Fox Raceway. I think only one rider likes it. I've only heard one rider publicly say they enjoy that track, and it's Hayden Deegan, and it's his hometown track, so I'm not very surprised that he says that. But everybody else that they talk to seems like they don't like it. Joe Shimoda in the 250s said he didn't like it. Tom Viel said he was not a fan of it. Justin Cooper on the podium after Moto 1 said he's usually not a fan of that track. I'm sure Jet Lawrence likes it. He's never been in second place or worse for a single lap recorded at that track on a 450. He's undefeated at it in his pro career, so I'm sure he likes it, but I don't understand why they keep going back. I don't know where else they would go. I think it was during the 2020 season, they went to Loretta Lynn's. That was a little disappointing. I mean, it's an amateur track, and they had pro guys racing it, so you can't do that. I know there's a place in Florida, at least there was a place in Florida, where the MXGP series came through. I can't remember the name of it right now. I'm going to do some research in Florida. If I see the name, WM Motocross Park at WM Ranch in Jacksonville. I know that's where, like I said, the MXGP series came through there. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's got to be a better solution. Hangtown seems like the one Californian track that is well received, at least maybe not just as hated, I guess, maybe. Although I think it will be this upcoming weekend when it's pushing 100 degrees for 450 Moto number 2, and it's going to be about 95 degrees when 250 Moto number 1 gate drops. So there's just a little something to look forward to if you're racing this weekend. I'm sure if you're racing this weekend, you're not listening to this. But anyway, prediction time. 250s. I want to get a little sideways here and say Tom Vielle. I don't want to just go out there pick Hayden Deegan every week. What has Thomas Vielle done? Hangtown last year, he got a second. And then his rookie year, he got a fourth place. Joe Shimoda last season got a fifth. That was the old Joe. That was the Joe Shimoda that couldn't start very good. 23, he got a sixth. He's gotten fourth. He's gotten a second back in 2021. I think that might be. We gotta do the old Command F. Hangtown. So what are we looking at here for Joe Shimoda? Yeah, 5 last year, 6, 4, 2. Yeah, so that second place is best. But he hasn't typically been a good starter of the season, or really of the races. But still, give me Tom Vielle. Tom Vielle, 250s, 450s, Eli Tomac. He has done some absolutely crazy things in Hangtown. I think it was 2015. He went out there and decided to beat everybody by 90 seconds, I do believe it was. So he's 3, 2, 2, 1, 1, 3, 1. Now we're into 250s. So 450 wise, he's gone win, 3, 1, 3 wins, a third, a second, 2 seconds, 4 threes. Eli Tomac has never finished off the podium in the 450 class at Hangtown. So give me Tom Vielle. Give me his future teammate, Eli Tomac, as our winners for Hangtown. Talking underscore moto on X. Go give a follow, like, retweet, comment, all the good stuff. If you want to race pro motocross, you might want to rethink your decision after watching this weekend when, like I said, it's going to be pushing 100 degrees here. So, but if you want to do it, I'll talk about you. Talking underscore moto on X. We will be back next week. See ya.